Well, good morning, everyone. Let's turn once more to Joshua, the book of Joshua, and we're in the chapter 9. And I'm going to read two verses that we have already noted and read. But of course, whenever you're studying God's Word, you have to go over it, read it again. I remember many years ago when learning something about metalwork, and you were cutting a piece of metal. You used to have a very hard-tipped metal scribe, just like a pencil. Only what it did was score the metal, so that if you had to follow a line cutting it, you would put your ruler down and you'd run the scribe along the ruler, but you would do it a number of times to make sure you had a deep score on the metal, something that wouldn't just wipe off, and you wouldn't know then where you had to cut, but you had to scribe it so that an impression was made on the metal that was deep and lasting. Well, that's what we've got to do with our memories. We've got to run past our memories, as it were, those portions that we want to memorize, scribe them on our memory so that we don't forget. Let's read then the verses 14 and 15. And the men, that is the leaders of Israel, the princes, the men took of their victuals, that is the food that the Gibeonites were showing as evidence that they had traveled a long way. Of course, it was all a deceit. They had old food with them, but they set this forth as evidence, proof that they had traveled a long way. And the princes, they had a look at this food and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. And Joshua made peace with them and made a league with them to let them live. And the princes of the congregation swear unto them. We're wanting, boys and girls, to press home upon you the need to look to the Lord for guidance, to look to the Lord for help, to look to the Lord for his blessing, and not to depend upon ourselves. The Bible gives us the picture of the sheep under the care of the shepherd. Things are a little different in this country, and yet not really that different. You don't see the shepherd out in the field with the sheep. Instead, the shepherd puts a very strong fence round the sheep so that they can't get out and stray. And the fence, as it were, is there, representing the shepherd, and making sure that the sheep stay where they ought to. So things are not really that different. Now, the Lord shepherds us, but he does more than that. He puts a fence round us. And the fence that God puts round us is his word. We must live within the word of God. We're not to go outside it. We're not to go beyond it. We're not to do those things which we ought not to do, those things that are forbidden us of the Lord. But instead, we're to stay within the Word of God and do the things that are commanded to us in the Word of God. This is the lesson we're seeking to pursue today. You see, the Gibeonites, with their cunning, crafty ways, deceived the Israelites, and being deceived, Israel was brought into conflict with God. What they did was wrong, and it offended God. God had said they were to make peace with none of the tribes, but here they are making peace with one of the tribes. And that was an offense to God. And they did that simply because they acted without asking the Lord. And boys and girls, it is one of the deepest desires within the human heart to act and live as they like. Young people, when they grow up, they're keen to leave school, no longer be under its restraints. And they haven't left school very long until they're anxious to get away from home and get a place to live on their own where they can do what they like. That's the trend of today. That's always been the trend. That's the center, the heart of the story of the prodigal son. He wanted to get out from under his father's rule and his father's authority. He wanted to live as he liked. And men universally are like that. And when you come to the religious realm, the spiritual realm, that desire to get away from God is a powerful desire at work in the heart of sinful man. But it doesn't end when you get saved. But rather, when you get saved, you're fighting that desire from then on. You're fighting that desire to get away from God and do your own thing and not be in submission to Him. The evidence that that is the desire at work in the hearts of men and which must be resisted is seen in the many, many, many exhortations from the Lord to obey Him and not act on our own. That shows, you see, that God knows that that force is at work in our hearts and in our souls, and God is seeking to remind His people to fight and oppose and reject that impulse. What Israel did here, as recorded in verses 14 and 15, brought the people of God into conflict with the Lord. They had disobeyed the Lord. They had disobeyed the Lord by acting according to their own notions and their own views and their own wisdom. They acted against the Lord. You know, when we take decisions without consulting God, let me tell you, listen to me carefully now. When we take decisions without consulting God, we will always make the wrong decision. Oh, you say, surely, now and again we'll make the right decision. No, you won't. You'll always make the wrong decision. Do you know why? Well, has anybody ever had a good close look at a compass? You know, the little device that tells us where north is. Anybody ever had a good look at one of those? That's how men for centuries have plotted a course, have decided what direction they should be going in. Now, say the compass had a little fault. Say the compass, instead of pointing to north, pointed a little way off north. But you didn't know it. And you thought when it was pointing, it was truly pointing to the north, and you plotted your course accordingly. Now, you wouldn't arrive where you want to arrive if that compass was giving you wrong information. Don't you understand? We have examples of it today, not so much with the compass, but with a thing called satellite navigation. Maybe some of you have a device like that in your car, or your mum and dad have in the car. Well, sometimes you know the information that the satellite navigational device gives is not accurate. Just not right. Somebody has fed some wrong information into the system, and consequently, when you're following the directions, you go wrong. It's happened. It used to cause quite a bit of merriment on occasions when lorry men, especially those who were coming from another country and driving through our land and depending on the satellite, found themselves out in the middle of nowhere, down a little narrow path, stuck, because there was nowhere to turn their huge truck, nor back into an opening so that they could reverse. They were stuck! And what an operation then had to take place to get them back, all because they were listening to false information. That's happened many a time. Now listen, boys and girls, I said to you that whenever you make a decision on your own, without consulting the Lord, you'll always get it wrong. You'll always get it wrong. And you'll always get it wrong because your satellite navigation device is wrong. It's wrong. Our soul is corrupted, our mind is corrupted by sin. It can't be depended upon. It'll always give you false information. David was a wise man. And when he was a young man in particular, his wisdom was seen. And yet, we find him, when he was faced by the Philistines, consulting the Lord and saying, Lord, what will I do? And the Lord told him. And they went out against the Philistines and had a wonderful victory. And very shortly afterwards, they came back again, because the Philistines will always come back. And they came back again. Now, David did not say, I think that since only a short few days ago I did this, and defeated the Philistine, sure, I'll do the same again. It'll work the second time as well. No, he didn't do that. Because that would have been relying on his own thinking. Instead, he went back again to the Lord. And it was just as well that he did, because the instructions God gave him this time were different from what he told him the first time. I tell you, boys and girls, if we rely upon our own hearts and minds and wisdom to guide us, we will always get it wrong. We'll always get it wrong. Just like here, Joshua. Joshua was a giant spiritually compared to us. We're only little midgets compared to Joshua spiritually. But he got it wrong. He made a decision here without consulting the Lord, and he got it wrong. With all the wisdom that he had, with all the experience that he had, he still got it wrong. He didn't get it half right or half wrong. He didn't get a little bit of it right and some of it wrong. No, he got it completely wrong. Because that's how it will ever be, boys and girls. That's how it will ever be. When we make decisions of any description, when we're faced, as it were, with a crossroads and we're not sure which way we should go, we should always seek the Lord. I'm going to read some verses to you that urges this advice upon you. Proverbs chapter 3. These are very famous verses that I'm about to read to you here. Proverbs chapter 3 and the verse 5 and 6. They have ever been verses that people have looked to and leaned upon, and they have given to others. The chances are, if you get a Bible and somebody puts a little verse in the front as they give you this Bible, the chances are they'll write these verses in. What does it say? Proverbs 3 verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Oh, I tell you, boys and girls, there is a world of wisdom in those few words. May God write them on your heart and cause them ever to act as a check upon your spirit whenever you're required to make a decision. We ought to follow Ezra's example. You remember Ezra? He was returning from exile back to the land of Israel, from which his people had been taken away into exile, into captivity. Now he's returning back again to undertake the work of rebuilding, starting again to build a temple that had been destroyed by the enemy. And he's taking his journey back again from the land of captivity. He has a lot of wealth with him, because the Jews that were there had provided money, and even the king who ruled over them in their captivity, whose heart had been touched by the Lord, he gave money. So they had a lot of money. And Ezra was very conscious that this is a dangerous journey we're on. So what did he do? Did he hire himself an army? Did he look for security that way? No. In Ezra chapter 8 and the verse 21 we read, then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek of him a right way for us and for our little ones and for all our substance. No, he turned his back on, I'm sure, the advice that many would have offered to him about getting guards. No! He says, let's seek the Lord, and let's ask him what it is we should do. There's a lovely promise in the book of James, and the promise itself indicates the need we have of wisdom. We haven't got wisdom of ourselves. Listen to the promise. James chapter 1, the verse 5. Who can get to it first? James chapter 1, the verse 5. If any of you, why, this is a word for this school today. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, or scoldeth not. Doesn't rebuke us when we come and say, Lord, we don't know. He doesn't say, well, why don't you know? Are you stupid? No, he doesn't say that. But rather, if I might put it like this, he would pat you on the head and say, good boy, good girl, for coming to me and asking me for wisdom. He upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. You know, every one of you here will have exams at one time or another. And going into your exams, you have an advantage over every other boy and girl, or almost every other boy and girl in the country. You have a great advantage over them, because when you're in your exam and you're looking at maybe difficult questions and you're wondering, you can pray. You're not allowed a calculator. You're not allowed a wee book with all the answers. You're not allowed to say to the person who's in charge of the exam, excuse me, could you help me with this? No, but you can ask God. And God knows more than any calculator or any book of answers or any teacher or any supervisor. Now, of course, you can't ask him to give you that which you never studied. You can't say, oh Lord, here we are at this subject, and you know, Lord, I never bothered reading about it. I never bothered studying this at all, Lord. But now would you give me the answers? The Lord will say, no. The scripture says, study to make thyself approved unto God. But you see, when we do study with the best of intentions, we may study and study and study, and then when the time comes, our memory lets us down. We know it, but we just can't recall it. That's when God will help you. That's when God will help you. That's when you can ask wisdom of the Lord, and he can bring to your mind. He can bring to your mind that which you have already, through diligent study, sought to put into your mind. Ask of God. Learn from the folly of Joshua and the leaders at that time, who made a covenant with those who were the enemies of God and who should have been punished and judged and destroyed. Joshua made an alliance with them, a league with them, an agreement with them. He let them live, all because he relied upon his own wisdom. I'll quickly close by saying this decision by Joshua and the leaders had lasting effects. As all mistakes do have, boys and girls, as all wrongdoing, as all neglecting of God and disobeying God and not heeding God, it always has a lasting effect. You don't get over it in a day or two and then it's all forgotten about. No! These Gibeonites lived amongst the Israelites from that day forward. Very soon they caused a problem. You can read about it in the chapter 10, the next chapter. Because other Canaanites heard what the Gibeonites had done, and they said, right, we'll take vengeance on these boys. They have gone over to the enemy. We'll attack them. And they did attack them. And Israel had to come to the help of the Gibeonites. They found themselves involved in that which was not initially within the purpose and plan of God. But because they made a mistake, because they made this agreement with the Gibeonites, now they had to take on the responsibilities and the problems of the Gibeonites as well. And that's how it is in life. You make a mistake, and it'll come back to you, it'll come back to you, it'll come back to you. It's like the athlete who breaks a limb, breaks a bone. It's not just an easy thing to get over, but that injury will come back again and again. Oh, it's healed up, the bone's healed up, but there's still a weakness there that will plague them. Again and again and again and again. And so it is when we do wrong, when we act without thinking and looking to the Lord, it will bring into your life that which will, for the rest of your life, hurt you, maim you, and be a burden to you. We read of one particular incident. It concerned Saul, the first king of Israel, and the terrible price he paid for not looking to the Lord for guidance. We close with these words, found in 1 Chronicles, that's the Old Testament, 1 Chronicles chapter 10, the verses 13 and 14. So Saul died for his transgression which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord, which he kept not, and also for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit, a witch, to inquire of it, and inquired not of the Lord. Therefore he slew him, and turned the kingdom unto David, the son of Jesse. That's the price Saul paid for not following God's counsel and God's advice. Boys and girls, out there in the world, There are people who turn their back on what God says, and they march along through life, and little do they know that they're marching towards the precipice over which they will fall into everlasting damnation, because they sought not the Lord, nor listened to His word. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. Lean not on your own understanding. If you lack wisdom, ask of God, who giveth to all men and girls liberally. Let's bow in prayer. Write your word on the hearts of every boy and girl today, Lord, please. Lock it into their memories. Oh God, remember how there was that ritual when a man wanted to stay in the service of another. He had his ear bored with a little tool and awl, and he had this mark on him. Lord, mark the boys and the girls as thine, and may they not seek to turn aside, but in all their ways acknowledge thee. Bless the school today and undertake for it now, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, I'll not be seeing you as a school until September, in the will of the Lord. Do take care during the summer. I'll see the most of you, of course, at church week by week, but as a school, I'll not be seeing until then. But the Lord take care of you and guide you, and don't forget the Lord. God bless you.